How many of you how many of you have ever been fishing and never caught a thing? Let me tell you a little story. My two sons and myself, some years ago, Brenda's baby. Years ago, Tim Settles, who was over at Cypress Creek Baptist Church, kept telling me that he goes to Lake Sutton all the time, catches all these fish and all that. And so one Saturday afternoon, I owned a 17-foot bass boat at that time. And one Saturday afternoon, I said to the boys, I said, let's go fishing tomorrow. And one Friday afternoon, rather, and got up on Saturday morning, 5:30 we got up. Drove down to Lake Sutton, put that boat in right after 7 o'clock, and fished and fished and fished until 10:30. I never had a bite, not a single strike. I had a big old Plano tackle box, and still got it, in fact, and every lure's in there that you can name. And we got some worms, and we got some crickets, and we were just fishing. We never got a bite. The thing of it is, neither did my sons get a bite. Not a single bite. We fished all over Lake Sutton. About 10:30, I said, boys, I'm ready to go home. They said, I am too. Well, my youngest one, he was already complaining. He was ready to go about 8:30, but we waited until 10:30 and got back on Highway 421, headed back toward Clinton and home. And I said to the boys, I said, let's go on up to Rose Hill to Nash Johnson's Pond and just try it for a little bit. All right, Daddy, that's what we'll do. We went up there, we put the boat in. I said, let's go all the way down to the dam and start down there and come back this way. All right, so we went down and we started at the dam. And on the very first cast that I made, I caught a bass. I cast again, and in about 10 minutes, I had 4 bass in the boat. My baby boy had 6 or 7 in the boat. And my oldest son, he wasn't fishing. He's not a bass fisherman anyway. He was fishing with a brim buster. He had, 5 or 6 brim and 7 or 8 crappie in the boat already. We hadn't been there an hour. And we'd already had as many as we wanted to clean anyway. So we left and come on home. I began to think about that, and I began to look at that, and you know what? I found just such a story in the Bible. And I began to read that, and it's found over in Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, beginning at the very first verse. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or Galilee, or Tiberias, whichever one you want to call it, and whichever area you're from, and saw 2 ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not. From this day forward, thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed so grateful to you this morning for allowing us to be in your house. Father, we thank you for these who have come to hear your word. And we pray now that you would take your servant and use us to bring forth your word, that these that hear might adhere to your word and receive it with gladness. Father, I pray this morning that if there's one within the sound of my voice that lost and undone without Jesus, that this might be the reckoning time for that soul. And Father, I pray for those here who claim to know Jesus as their personal Savior. I pray, Lord, that they might also hear your word and adhere to your word. Receive it into their hearts and go forth from this place into the world to do your bidding. Father, take us now and let this be as you would have it to be. In Christ's name, amen. It's very early on the morning on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And the fishermen had drawn their boats up to the shore. And they were busy, engaged in doing what was necessary to get ready for the next night's fishing. And Luke says that they were washing their nets. But if you look at this same story over in Matthew and Mark, you'll find out that they say they were mending their nets. Now, whether they were washing them or mending them, or whatever it was that they were doing, they were taking care of them and getting ready for the next time that they would put their boats out to sea to fish for the fish. Now, there's some questions that come to my mind when I read this story, and I thought about my fishing trip to Lake Sutton, and there were some things there that just kept jumping out at me. And I said, well, you know, this would make a pretty good sermon. And so I began to work on that thing, and I began to answer my own question. The first question I had that came to my mind was, why hadn't they caught any fish? Now listen, it was not that they had not tried. The Bible says they toiled, and that means they worked hard. That's what that word toil means. They worked hard all night long and didn't catch anything. It wasn't that they were lazy. They were busy doing what come natural to them. They were fishermen. And so they weren't lazy. They weren't at ease. They'd go to sleep in the boat. They were doing what they needed to do. And they worked and worked and worked all night long. It wasn't because they didn't know how to catch fish. These were commercial fishermen. They were professionals. They knew how to catch fish. They knew exactly what to do. They were not amateurs. They were not guessing about how to catch fish. They knew how to catch fish. They were trained to catch fish. They knew the lake like the back of their hand. They knew the best places to go catch those fish. They knew right exactly what spot to cast that net in. They used the right kind of bait. They used the right kind of tackle. And I thought I was doing the same thing because I was throwing everything I had. Matter of fact, I got so disgusted, I started to throw the tackle box. That's about the way they felt, I imagine. They knew the right time to catch fish. Now, most of the time, if we go fishing, we go in daytime, don't we? These men fished at night because they knew that was the best time to catch fish. It was unusual for fishermen who were amateurs to go at night. But not commercial fishermen, not professional fishermen. They knew the right time to go, and so they went at night to catch fish. They knew the right kind of bait to use. They knew everything that there was to know about fishing. It wasn't because it wasn't important for them to catch fish. It was important. Their livelihood depended upon how many fish they caught. The livelihood of their families depended upon how many fish they caught. If they didn't catch any fish, their families would suffer because they wouldn't have anything to eat, and plus the fact that they wouldn't have any fish to sell at the market, and they would not be able to buy other things that they needed in their livelihood. Well then, why had they caught no fish? Well, let me tell you. There are several things reasoning why they hadn't caught any fish. There's a likeness here to our modern day church also. And this is what I lay it to. They hadn't caught any fish because they simply were not doing things God's way. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, they were fishing. They were doing everything they knew to do. They were trying every trick in the trade to catch fish because it was important, but they weren't catching anything. How many of you would have to say this morning, honestly, "I've been a Christian all my life, preacher. I've been a church member and a Christian for 50, 60, 70 years. And one of these days I'm going to have to stand before Christ and he's going to say, what did you do? How many did you catch?" And I'm going to have to say, "Lord, I didn't catch anybody. I didn't catch anybody. I didn't lead one single solitary person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't caught anything." Well, the net that these men were casting were composed of all of their efforts. Every man in that boat had something to do, and he was doing it. Every member of White Creek Baptist Church has something to do, but are you doing it? That's the question. Well, my job is to lead the choir, and that's all I'm going to do. Just lead the choir. Is that right? All right. That's good. That's fine. Leading the choir is a good thing to do. Well, I can imagine that Kenzie would say, "Well, my job is to preach, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to preach." And I can imagine the deacon saying, "Well, my job is to deacon. That's all I'm going to do is deacon." What is your job? What is your responsibility in White Creek Church? Why do you have to stand here and look at empty pews on Sunday morning? Are you doing your job? Well, listen, let's look at a few of the things that caused these men not to catch any fish. First of all, there was something wrong with their nets. Every member of this church is a strand in the net of Christianity. Every member of this church is a strand in winning somebody to Jesus Christ. And if you're not winning somebody to Jesus Christ, you're not doing what God has compelled us or commanded us to do. Amen. Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men's souls. But are we doing that? Well, let me tell you something. Every missing church member, every absent church member, everything that would hinder or harm is going on in the world today. And it's not getting any better, folks. And I'll tell you something else. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get progressively worse. So you know what that means? That means that you and I have to work progressively harder. That's what it means. Every absent church member. Oh, you're here this morning, but where will you be tonight? Well, our church is going to be at Delco. But will you be at Delco? Will you represent White Creek Baptist Church at Delco tonight? Now, I didn't know you were going tonight, but God did. What about Wednesday night? How many do you have on Wednesday night? I don't know how many you got here this morning. I ain't counted. That's up to the Lord. That's up between you and God. But what about Wednesday night? Well, you know, it's not all that important, and they don't do a whole lot on Wednesday night. You know why they don't do a whole lot on Wednesday night? Because you're missing. If you were here to encourage them on, they may do more. What about revivals? Oh, I come to the first service, preacher, and that's it. I'm not going to be here the rest of the week. Well, most churches now only have 3 days. Revival just gets started good whenever it's time for us to quit. That's the problem, folks. With most churches that I visit, most churches that I go in, most churches where I preach at, that's the problem. Amen. Church members are not doing what church members are supposed to do. Amen. Every church member, every song that you sing, every prayer that you utter, every sermon that I preach, every testimony you give, every visit you make, ought to be for the sole purpose of telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. Well, one of the greatest hindrances that can be found in all of our churches today is absent church members. 15, 16 million strong Southern Baptists. And I venture to say that if you go into most Southern Baptist churches and took a poll next Sunday, you wouldn't even have 10 million people. 6 million people would be missing. Well, sometimes just a piece of old dirty driftwood gets into the net and tears a hole in it. And that's what happens. Some unsaved church member gets into the mix and tears a hole into everything that's going on. And they'd rather see trouble in the church than to see people walk the aisle for Jesus. And believe you me, my friend, there's some preachers like that. There's some preachers that keep stuff stirred up in the church because they know when there's trouble in the church, everybody's going to be coming out of curiosity to see what's going on. Who's going to be fighting next Sunday? Who's going to be fighting next Wednesday? That's what is going on in our churches today. That's why we have to look at empty pews. Then there's a church member who's guilty of some great sin that everybody knows about, but nobody wants to confront them. Leave it up to the poor old preacher to confront them. Everybody knows about it, but nobody wants to do anything about it. And there's great old creatures sometimes that gets in the net, you know, like manta rays or sharks or devil fish or sea turtles or something. And they just tear a great big hole in it, and the fish go right through it, right through the hole. And that's what's happening in our churches today, folks. There are holes in the net, and there are lost souls out there that are slipping through the holes, lost, dying, and on their way to a devil's hell because church members don't care anymore.
Amen.
Fussing and fighting and feuding and belly aching and complaining. Well, this ain't the way I want to do it. This ain't the way we ought to. You know, it ought to do this way. It ought to be, I don't like what the preacher wore last Sunday. Huh? What's your favorite gripe? Ever thought about it? But there's a way that you can fix the net. There's a way that you can mend the holes in the net. First of all, by examination. Just look at yourself. Don't worry about what Walter's doing. That's between Walter and God. Don't worry about what John's doing. That's between John and God. Worry about what you're doing. Examine yourself. Look at yourself and say, Lord, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Lord, am I carrying my part of the load? And am I making Whites Creek Baptist Church look like what it's supposed to look like? Examination. Look closely at our own lives. And then there's confession. Confess whatever it is that God tells you is wrong in your life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to forgive us of all or to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession. Confession's good for the soul. Confession to God. You know why you confess to God? I don't have to confess to Walter or John or Willie. I don't have to confess to them. But I have to confess to God. He's the one that I have sinned against. He's the one that whose laws I have broken. And I have to confess to God. And say, God, it's me. It's not my brother or my sister standing in the need of prayer. Lord, it's me. I'm the one. Confession. And then there's repentance. Lord, lead me to where I ought to be. Help me to be what I ought to be. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all the sin that I've committed against you, against your church, against Christianity. Forgive me for all the things that I have done. Repentance. Turning away from sin and turning towards God. And then there is rededication. But I can't do that, preacher. If I walk that aisle, somebody's going to say, I knew it. I knew it. Listen, who are you trying to please this morning? God or man? Who are you trying to please this morning by rededicating your life? By coming to this altar and saying, Lord, I haven't been all that I needed to be this past week. I repent of that. Help me to be all that I can be this next week. And then there is rededication. Lord, I come this morning with repentance in my heart, confessing my sins before you, and rededicating my life to you. Oh, listen. Whenever those disciples or whenever those followers saw that Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, let down your net over there, Peter said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. He confessed. And when they came to shore, Luke said, they left their ships and they followed after him. They rededicated their life. To following after Jesus, doing what he said. I challenge you this morning, as a church, I challenge you to come and rededicate your life this morning. and say, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus than ever before. I challenge you, if you're here and you're lost and undone without Jesus, and you don't know what it means to be a Christian, I challenge you this morning to come and try Jesus. Try it. And I guarantee you, you'll like what you find. I challenge you to make this coming week, this coming year, this coming century, however long this world should last, better than it's ever been before. In your life and in the life of this church. Will you do that? Let's pray. Father, let us come now and become truly fishers of men's souls. Let us come and rededicate, reconsecrate our lives afresh and anew to you. Father, take these few moments and use them to touch people's heart, that they might see how they need to rededicate their lives. In Christ's name. Our invitation is,
wherever he leads, I'll go.
Wherever he leads, I'll go. Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Will you go?